Well, it's great to see everyone this morning. If you're following along, we'll be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Some people are slow learners, or they're slow to learn, but we must learn in this life. Life is a learning process, and school is a matter of learning. Now, Pete walked up to his teacher's desk holding a report card with a big red F. He said, "If I were you, I would change this while you still can." "Why is that?" asked the teacher. "Because my daddy told me that if I brought home one more failing report card, someone was going to get a beating." So, you know, our parents were like that. They wanted us to have good grades. I think he kind of misunderstood, you know, who was going to get that beating there. But, you know, learn we must in this life. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." No one is perfect. No one can be. The Old Testament law showed us that, and we see that in our study of Nehemiah. Another way to say this is that we all make mistakes. We all fail. We all fail in something. But we can't let our failures get us down. We can't let that override our successes. Now, if we do, we'll stay down, and God doesn't want us to stay down in our lives in the pits of gloom and doom, discouragement and depression. He wants us to be able to celebrate life with Him. In Psalm chapter 40, first three verses of Psalm 40, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of this slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and put fear, will see and fear and put that trust in the Lord." Now, the Lord is the only cure that we have for the failures of life. He can lift us up, make us whole, and give us a new direction in life. But we must constantly and consistently cry out to Him. Look to Him, lean on Him, learn from Him, and love Him. We see that in Jesus when He walked the earth, and all the other prophets. They were mindful and they were prayerful of God, and they did that often. That's what we need to do too. Life is full of failing. Life is full of pits and pitfalls. But we have to keep going forward, and we have to overcome with the Lord's help and grace. Now, this is not talking about being successful the way the world looks at success, where you have a bunch of cars and a big house, and you know they're all nice and new and shiny, and we got a lot of cash to throw around. You know, that's the world's view of success. But God's view of success is being successful in the Christian life. You know, why a school teacher sent this note home with all the parents on the first day of school. They said, "If you promise not to believe everything your child says happened at school, I'll promise not to believe everything he or she says happens at home." So, you know, children are like that, kind of, and people are like that sometimes too. They want to look at things from their way and not see it from God's way. So, we go to school to learn. That's kind of obvious. We all did it. We're sent to school to learn. To learn what? Now, in the old days, it was reading, writing, and arithmetic, as they would say. And we did learn those basics. Those basics were vitally important. Without them, no one's going to get far in life. You know, we've got to learn how to talk to people. We've got to learn how to figure out, you know, measurements and things like that. You know, it's a good enough education to get us to the moon and beyond. So in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12, let's read that. "About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." Now, the truth of that may be we need the basics, you know, which we all need to know. I mean, the basic things that a new person who's thinking about coming into the kingdom of God, you know, the basic is that there is a God, and that He had a Son named Jesus, who was both man and deity, who lived a perfect, blameless life, and was the only sacrifice great enough to count for all our sins in life. They need to understand that. And they need to understand that if we love God and believe in God, that we'll obey His commands, just as Jesus loved Him and obeyed those commands. And He tells us to repent and confess and to be baptized. Just simple instructions to get us into the kingdom of God. And we rise up as that new man and that new woman. And then from there, we have to become not God-like in the sense that we have God's powers, but understand the mind of God in some measure. You know, a lot of times for early Christian, first people when they become Christians, first off, have a lot of questions. Why did He do this? Why did He do that? Why? You know, why would He punish people and condemn them, to punishment for sins? Or why would He do that? So, but several things that God did create man, you know, that God did for us was God created man for fellowship, for communion. If we remember Adam and Eve, God walked with them in the garden. But man sinned and broke that fellowship with God. You know, when someone asks me the question of why does good things, bad things happen to good people, I always look to, well, this is the world that sin has made. You know, if we came underneath the umbrella of God's kingdom and everything was perfect and fine and, you know, God didn't let bad people do bad things in this world and things like that, would we really know what sin is about? Would we really know how much that separates us from God? Without God, there's no sustenance of life. Without God, there's no protection, no mercies. Without all that, there's storms and bad things that happen. God loves all people intensely and has provided a way for them to be saved. God sent His Son Jesus to save us, and we accept that by faith. God is gracious and will save us because of who Jesus is and what He did for us. And when we die, we'll spend eternity with God and Christ and with those who have believed and trusted in them. We will fellowship together, worship, love, and serve our God of love. And the unbelieving and evil will be punished in the world. It's perfectly okay. It's a free country. If you don't want to believe in God, you know, it's just, that's your choice. But don't expect God to be there in the end, whenever you don't believe in Him, to do something for you. So, makes simple sense. It pays to remember these basic or elementary truths of God's Word. They'll help to govern and direct our lives if we realize that. They're the foundation on which the house, our lives, are built. No foundation or a poor foundation means not much of a house or a life. It starts to deteriorate after that. If we'll trust in God, know that He wants to have a relationship with us and that He's, did all He's done to help us have that relationship, then we should be glad about those things. John Adams said, there are two types of education. One should teach us how to make a living and the other how to live. And that's true. We go to school to get an education in order to make a living, but perhaps the most important education is learning how to live. And where does that come from? It starts in home with our mom and dads. We see little kids, they imitate their mothers and fathers as they grow and learn. They teach us many things about life, about right and wrong, about morals, about courtesy, about loving others. Hopefully we learn those things in the home. Unfortunately, you look around us and you wonder what some of those lessons were for some of the people out there. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. If you had godly parents who gave you godly advice, then thank God for them that they gave you that advice. So hopefully we learn about how to live by going to Sunday school or church. Christian education is real important. We all should want to learn more about God, Christ, and how to live the Christian life. And that takes place here. And it takes place in our normal lives with prayer and meditation and study. What's the greatest lesson you ever learned in Sunday school or church? I kind of suspect it's not a Bible lesson at all. And probably the grace or graciousness of some Christian person influenced our lives. We go to school to learn, but we also learn, live to learn. We learn from many things and from many people in our lives. The important thing is to never stop learning. If you think you know it all, you don't. If you don't want to learn, you're wrong. Be open to learn the good life that God provides for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example, or learn from my example, is what he's saying, as I follow the example of Christ. If there's a good example there, that should inspire us. As Paul said, you know, my troubles inspire the other Christians to go through their trouble. You know, they see a leader who leads, not from behind, but from the forefront, who's in just as much trouble as they are in their life as early Christians. But we go to school to learn, but it doesn't just stop with school. We have many teachers in school. You know, life is like going to school in a sense. It's called the life of hard knocks sometimes. And we have many teachers. You know, a school teacher injured his back and had to wear a plaster cast around the upper part of his body. And it fit under his shirt, and it really wasn't all that noticeable. Well, on the first day of school that year, with the cast still underneath his shirt, he was assigned to the toughest students in the school, the worst class. Now, he walked confidently into the rowdy classroom. He opened the window as wide as possible and then busied himself with the desk work. When a strong breeze made his tie flap, he took out the desk stapler and stapled his tie down. From that time, he had no trouble with any students after that. You ever have a teacher like that? We have many teachers in school. Some are good, some are poor, some are interesting, some boring, some joyful, some are sober, and some mean, some nice. You know, we've seen it all. You know, but you know, being tough is not all that bad if the teacher is interesting and is fair. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, the goal of this command is love, which comes from the pure heart and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. It's kind of like someone said, I forget his name, but he said, it doesn't make any sense to be precise if you don't know what you're talking about. You know, we can talk in generalities if we don't know exactly what we're talking about. But they were confidently affirming what they thought they knew. But Paul said they didn't know anything. Now, Paul is saying that the goal of God's command is love. The scriptures are given to produce love in our hearts and others' lives. Some people, however, have wandered away from God's command and are teaching meaningless stuff. They don't know what they're teaching or talking about. And we can talk about, you know, this and that, about saving money and about making money and all these kind of things and try to connect them to what God wants us to do. But the central theme of everything we do is God's love for us and God's love for those who are lost. And we should mimic that love with people who are downtrodden, with people who are lost, with all that in our lives. You know, we've all known some good Christian kids that have gone to secular college and lost their faith, or sometimes nearly lost their faith, because of some so-called smart professor who really didn't know what he or she was talking about. So we need to be discerning in regard to what anybody is teaching. Don't just take it on face value because, you know, they're important or someone made them important or we think they're important. Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were more noble characters than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now scripture is God's word. Use it as our guideline as to what people are teaching and you won't go wrong. If a person can't back it up with scripture, then they're too far out there. I like to say that's taking a long walk on a short pier. When people have these wild-eyed ideas about God and things like that, don't have scripture to back it up, we have to take it with a grain of salt that God didn't tell us that, or that wouldn't dispense to us in any kind of way, or that's totally wrong and the Bible tells us different. Remember, Paul said even if an angel comes and gives you a different gospel. Even if an angel appears and does that, it's not right. Nothing changes this scripture. And yet many do that in their lives. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know that from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Just because someone sounds interesting, if they're not telling us what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what they say. It has to come from Scripture. It has to be squared away with the Bible, and it has to agree with the Bible. Otherwise, it's someone's opinion. We may have many teachers in life, but Scripture is always right. And of course, lastly, is that we hope to graduate. You know, we all look forward to that high school graduation when, after 12 years, we were finally going to be on our own or go into college and have a little bit more freedom in our lives, becoming adults. One fellow named Joe said, that college turns out some great men. His friend Bill said, when did you graduate? Joe said, I didn't graduate, I was turned out. So did you graduate or were you turned out? The philosopher Will Durant said, 60 years ago, I knew everything. Now I know nothing. Education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. I admit that the more I know, the more I realize how little I really know. And we've all experienced that. When we were young, we just did things. We didn't think about it. We just did it. Now we can't make a decision without thinking about all the implications for maybe days sometimes, because we know all the things that can happen. When we were young, that's what I want to do, so I'm going to do it. So I agree with what Will Durant said and about that, and he wrote a lot of history books and stuff. And the more we learn in life, the more we know just how little we do know. So even if we graduate from college with a degree or whatever, or a trade school, we still continue to learn about life. If not, something's wrong with us. If we can't learn from life, then, you know, we're just not paying attention. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Now, Paul's being kind of, you know, mean to the people if you think about that. You know, you're slow to learn. In fact, though, by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary things. So they got so far off the reservation, as they say, that, you know, they needed to get back to the basics. And just like in Nehemiah and Ezra in that time, they got back to Israel. They had to get the scrolls, and they had to start reading the law again. They had to get back to the basics that they didn't hear for years and years. Now, the writer is saying that we are slow to learn. I think most, you know, slow to learn when it comes to God, Christ, and the Bible, when it comes to spiritual matters. We're quick to learn the things of the world, but not the things of God. So our spiritual or biblical ignorance betrays us. A fellow named Albert Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, wrote, researcher George Gallup and Jim Cassellati put the problem squarely. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of Bible illiterates. How bad is it? Researchers tell us it's worse than they could have imagined. So fewer than half of all adults can name all four Gospels. That should be fairly easy. Many Christians can't identify more than two or three of the disciples. According to data from the Barna Research Group, 60% of Americans can't name even the first five of the Ten Commandments. Barna said, no wonder people break the Ten Commandments all the time. They don't know what they are. The bottom line is we're biblically illiterate, even though we have a Bible next to us a lot of times. So if we're illiterate or ignorant in the things that we have to know in school, if we don't know the math, we can't pass the math test. If we don't know the English, we can't pass the English test, and on and on. So how do we hope to graduate if we're not working on that way to graduate? Now, obviously, we don't graduate in the Christianity unless we die, and then we go to be with Him. You know, whether we know much or not, this is part of being saved by grace. But if we're only saved and we can go to heaven based on what we know biblically, then we're all in trouble. Because, you know, a lot of us don't know a whole lot about the Bible in some cases. Hebrews 5, however, points out that by now we should be teachers. Instead, we need to be taught again. And there's a point where any of us should be able to teach something from the Word of God, whether we have any teaching ability or not. But they were needed to go back to those basics that God, that Paul had dispensed to them in the first place. They weren't ready to tell anyone about anything until they got back to where they needed to be. In other words, there's a point where we should have enough spiritual knowledge and biblical knowledge that we should be able to pass it on to someone else. You know, what's that great joy in our heart? Why is that there? Not just because we believe God, but that we can tell a story of what happened and, you know, what God had to do in order to save you and I. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." So, of course, our ultimate graduation is when we leave this world and go into the presence of God. And that's a day we should plan for and that we should look forward to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from Him." You know, a young man who had just graduated from college, he rushed out and he said, "Here I am, world. I have my AB. And world looks at him and replies, "Sit down, son, and I'll teach you the rest of the alphabet." We may graduate from many schools in our lives, and education goes on as we go on through life. As someone said, a child educated only at school is an uneducated child. Every day we learn something new in life, and if we're open to it. But of course, the greatest education that we can have is about God and Christ. Someone said once that nature forms us, sin deforms us, school informs us, but only Christ transforms us. You know, secular education is good, and it's helped a lot of us, but a spiritual education is even better. Someday this life will end, and all the degrees in the world will probably mean little in heaven. Knowing God should be our major education goal in life. Make Him your pursuit, our aim, our greatest desire in this life, to know Him and serve Him so that we might spend eternity with Him. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but you have need of the church. Once you come, we stand and sing the song of invitation.